Welcome to Pastoring Out Loud, a podcast for South Cities Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit southcities.church. Good, I said it right. Normally I say the recap. How you guys doing?
Good.
Here's the random question. What is, there are lots of times they're weather related, but you know, whatever. What is your ideal temperature?
Yeah. I think we have done this.
Have we? Oh, okay.
72.
72.
Not too hot. Not humid. No humidity.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
77 with a light breeze.
There you go.
Not enough of a breeze to mess up me playing basketball outside.
Yep.
Nothing more frustrating than a beautiful day. You want to go outside and play basketball with your kids, and you can't shoot more than 6 feet
too
away because of the wind.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'd say something similar, 77, 78, upper 70s, with a light breeze, but not windy enough to ruin golf or fishing.
Got it. Ethan, what's yours? You're over there.
Ethan, 50,
just, I feel like
40.
Judging us, and I feel like that's rude, so...
30?
55, he says.
55 with the sun out for Ethan. So,
all right.
What is it right now?
60 without the sun.
62? Is this, so this is a little warm for you.
It's nice. He says, it's nice.
Could be a little cooler.
Could be a little cooler.
You should move to Duluth.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right, that's the best I got. I'm not as good at random questions as Daniel is, but it's beautiful out right now. It is gorgeous.
Thanks for trying, Nick.
Yeah, yep. You're welcome.
Appreciate the effort.
Yep. Always gonna bring the effort. All right, so we are talking about the book that we're going through in Sunday school, How the Nations Rage. And this week we're on chapter 5, which is called Government, Not a Savior, but a Platform Builder. Dave, you weren't in there, but Stacy, you were. Just the general thrust of this book is that a good government should aid, not do the work of the church. That's what he's going to talk about in next week.
Got it.
But should a good government help build platforms that lead to flourishing and can lead to redemption and almost like pave the way for the work of the church?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts just in general on that? He talks about the purposes of government. But I mean, maybe just start with what stuck out to you in the discussion that followed on this chapter.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how when government is, you know, doing good things in society, it, like you're saying, and that, like Jonathan Lehman says, it does help the church and the gospel to go forth. There's relative peace. There's religious freedom to the extent that people can share the gospel and worship freely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think somewhere in the book I had highlighted too, you know, there's some kind of education that happens, like that people can learn to read and learn to read the Bible for themselves. So in that sense, the government can set the stage for that country and that culture for the work of the church to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like in the large group discussion time, there was some good discussion about, well, what about governments that are more controlling and, you know, where it's illegal to share the gospel or something.
Yep.
But yeah, the gospel does go forth there.
It does. And I thought it was good, that discussion too, because the first thing that we started by noting is that any government, good or bad, gets their ultimate authority from God.
Yes. Yeah, you did that. You had us discuss Romans 13.
Yeah.
I thought that was really helpful to just start off with.
Yep. And so that the quote that Lehman says is, government represents God. Governments are his servant, his minister. No governing institution exists outside of his larger institutional realities of God's law. Jesus said the same thing to Pilate. You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above.
Yep.
So... we wouldn't look at Pilate and say he was a great godly leader presiding over a really godly government, right?
Right.
And yet, any authority that he had was given by God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that affects the fact that even bad governments, any authority that they have has been granted by God, how does that affect how we should view them?
I think it means we can, like everything else, just trust God with it, which is kind of the Sunday school answer, but probably a good one for us in this season where I think a lot of people, you know, were, you know, like in the last election, really disappointed, you know, with the outcome. And yet for us to wrestle first with God has in place who he has in place.
Yeah.
And so I think that we, it's a good thing for our hearts to wrestle with, you know, that sometimes if we're really upset and frustrated with that, it's okay to want the righteousness of God to come to bear on the earth, but we should probably be careful we're not questioning God accidentally in those things. And it, I think for me, it just makes me hopeful that God's still at work. It's not like he's stopped working for, you know, whatever period of time. I don't like who's in control or something like that, you know, and that I can trust him to keep working then behind the scenes and in all the ways that he promises to. So I think it's just true of everything, right? I mean, we could say it about anything in life that is hard or we don't love.
Mm-hmm.
But God is in control. And so we got to think about what he might be up to in this as well.
And that really does matter.
It does. Yep. It has to for Christians.
Mm-hmm. So then, having said that, over good and bad governments, God has granted authority. Mm-hmm. A good government, like the quote, a good government sets the stage for God's plan of redemption. It clears the way for the people of God to do their work of calling the nations to God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's just a helpful way to think about it. Like if government is doing what biblically, and he talked about like Genesis 9 in like the purposes of government and things like that. Mm-hmm. But if it's doing what it should be a help to the work of redemption, not a hindrance.
Yeah. Which is super interesting. This is like, I would just say this is the one part of the book where I had to kind of recalibrate my mindset a little bit or something, because it, like, I feel like as you look at church history, oftentimes when the church is kind of like thriving or exploding is when there's persecution.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and then I had to wrestle with, well, maybe in these times where the government is functioning well enough that it should be a platform, or it should be a, maybe the church just gets too comfortable.
Yeah.
And we don't drive on the paved road.
Right.
We're like, oh, the road is paved and we're just, that's nice. We look at it. It's nice. Look at it out there. It's great to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when it gets bumpier, it's, yeah. Yeah. So it was just, when he said that and he was making the argument from the Bible, I was kind of like, yeah, I think I agree biblically with what he's saying. And then I had to go, but what about and why? Yeah. And I think it's a good thing for us to think about.
I think in an ideal sense, yes, like government does set the stage, but I also don't think we live in an ideal world, obviously, right. Like, and the word of God is not bound by what government does or doesn't do.
Yep. Yeah. So we don't want to, you know, I think I said, we don't want to just totally believe that, nope, government has to be working perfectly for the gospel to go forth.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
But we also, I think we would want to say, but I would like to live in a place where it's easier for me to share the gospel than harder.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's not bound by the government, but I mean, praise God for freedom to meet for worship and to invite people to church and to share the gospel with your neighbors and to advocate for the Bible and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe the call is just like, let's take advantage of that more.
Yep. Yep, I think someone actually even said that. Like, maybe it's not the government's fault; it's the church's fault.
Right. Someone said, "Well, why don't we have more believing Christians than in America? Why has there been a decline?"
Yep.
Yeah. It's probably on us.
It's the president's fault.
Do you want me to read what
laugh.
He
sorry.
What he said the purposes of government
yeah.
were?
Yeah, those
he said
three
purpose
purposes.
One, to render judgment for the sake of justice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scrolling.
That's good.
Purpose two, to, like you said, to build platforms of peace, order, and flourishing. And the third purpose is... Do you have it?
To set the stage for redemption.
There we go. I had to scroll too long. Yeah, to set the stage for redemption.
Yep. So coming out of that, I thought where he went next is he talks about part of then a government aiding in setting the stage for redemption is that there needs to be a certain amount of religious tolerance.
Right.
Which might seem counterintuitive at first, but if it's going to be free... For us to share the truth, it has to be free for other people to disagree or have another opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that is one of the reasons that people have come to America was to have religious freedom.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
In the first place. Yeah.
So he said there's two planks to the Christian doctrine of religious tolerance.
These are really important.
Yep. So he says, the first plank is the state and its citizens must tolerate the worship of those gods whom one does not acknowledge, at least until those gods do harm to oneself and one's neighbor. So we have to tolerate that because we want people to tolerate it for us.
Right. It can't be just good for us and.
Yeah. And then the second. And the reason is the second plank. Governments possess no authority to exercise the keys of the kingdom and no ability to coerce true worship. And that's just true. Like a government cannot coerce true worship.
Right.
And it doesn't have the authority to exercise the keys of the kingdom, which again, he'll talk more about next week and what the church does.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So at face value, that can seem like, yeah, but I don't like it when I see false worship out there. I don't want to tolerate that.
Yeah.
So how do you work through that in your head?
Yeah, I think this, you know, it almost feels to me like the second plank is foundational to the first plank.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, the second plank being a government cannot coerce true worship. And if we want to live in a place where we are more free to talk about Jesus and talk about why he's the one worthy of all our worship and what repentance is and all those kinds of things, then we need to, it can't just be free for the people that think exactly like us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how a society can operate.
Right.
And so, while we, you know, if we want to be free to say, I mean, this isn't really interesting, right? If we want to be free to say, yes, I think Jesus is the only true way to worship. And when I see that place, let's just go with other religions. I see that place of false worship.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that I think it's a place of false worship. I think I also need to be willing to say, and I would support your right to have that place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, it's been interesting over the, I mean, there's one I'm thinking of, but there have been a few times over the past 5 years or so where a believer with a voice, you know, might say, you know, I actually think based on the biblical principle of religious freedom and tolerance that we should be in support of this mosque being built. That then that religious leader's got, you know, vilified and beat up pretty strongly for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why they would say that.
Yeah.
That, you know, wasn't saying, I think that mosque is full of true worship.
Or equally valid.
Or equally valid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With the biblical standard. But this is what religious tolerance in a pluralistic society looks like if we want to have those same beliefs and rights. And probably one of the complicating factors, and I feel like we talk about this a lot at South Cities, but I think that there probably is a sense among at least certain parts of evangelical Christianity, whatever evangelical means anymore, but I'll just use that term for now, that feels like things used to be more like on our side. Society, like it used to be kind of cool to be a Christian. And now maybe as other agendas are gaining more popularity in this pluralistic society, now maybe those things have moved from, yeah, of course we'd tolerate anything to, oh, you know, it feels like we're losing whatever battle we think we're fighting, I guess. And so I think that maybe there's just like an internal angst, fear, anger that makes this feel more difficult to actually do.
Yeah.
Even though we could read it and say, yes, obviously that's true. But then you actually get to the rubber meets the road and it's like, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes it hard emotionally to follow through on.
Yep. And we talked a little bit about how when a government does try to force worship, and there's been examples of that in history, it's never gone well.
Right.
Yeah. So it, you know, at best it creates a bunch of like hypocrites who are forced to do things and are no closer to God at all because they're not regenerate. Mm-hmm. And at worst, when governments, you know, tie like Christianity to like power and like conquest, then you get like the Crusades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
right. Or you get, you know, like I said in Sunday school, you get like in the Reformation, like Protestants throwing Catholics out of windows.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like, because it's a governmental power thing then, like the church is tied to like things that it should not be tied to.
Yeah.
Right. That's helpful. Extreme examples, but it is the logical end of that philosophy.
Yeah.
If you go all the way to the end.
Right.
Yeah.
So. So just this last quote that he had that I put on the pages, don't put too much hope in government, but don't give up on it either. Churches need good governments.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a really good summation to say like, I mean, there is a church in China that's faithful, but it's a lot harder.
Yep. So, that's right.
I think in light of this whole book, you know, it's helpful to think about like, well, what is the role of the government and what is the role of the church?
Yeah.
But then there's a different, you know, there's another category too of like, well, what is my role as an individual citizen in this country?
Yeah.
That, well, the church, you know, it's not their role to like work against, I don't know how to say it, like work against the government or like bad forms of government, or but individuals should speak up about things. You know what I mean? Or like work to, for the betterment of.
Or even be representatives.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean?
Like engage.
It could be a good thing.
For sure.
For Christians to give themselves to trying to make the government as good a thing as they can, both in, both, like you're saying, both in the individual level and also like maybe even a professional level.
Right.
There's just,
whereas, for the church can't, hopefully shouldn't be in that realm, but
great. All right, well, thank you. This is a good discussion. I hope it's helpful for our people.
Good.
Yep.